Hello, welcome to Compass Live, the only and therefore the best live stream dedicated to proof of work Bitcoin mining. Today on the show, we have Mint Green CEO Colin Sullivan and Alex Vanel, co-founder of Wise Mining. I'd also like to give a warm welcome to my co-host, Zach Vole. Zach, welcome to the stream. Really excited for this conversation on heat waste. Also, thanks for setting it up.
Yeah, this one should be super fun. There's a lot of very cool, you know, engineering and tech development in this particular slice of the mining sector. And we have two of the best guests on the show to talk about it. So I'm looking forward to this conversation a lot.
Totally. As always, please like and subscribe to our channel on your YouTube. It really helps out that we can talk to more miners about conversations that matter. Colin and Alex, I'd like to open up by getting a little background on both your firms and what led you to explore heat waste as a valuable byproduct for Bitcoin mining. Colin, let's start with you, and then Alex, shuffle over.
Yeah, we kind of came upon this sort of in earnest way back before we were sort of Mint Green. We were putting GPU rigs up in a remote ski hill called Hemlock. And essentially, they had no natural gas up there. And so we basically were negotiating power prices on like a decentralized level and saying like, hey, if we can host this, like, say, in your garage here and you can sort of have a heat part of your house, can we split the power cost with you guys? And it was horrendously expensive for them to pay for that. So it sort of evolved. I have myself have 7 years of experience in thermal exchange with the company prior, doing custom mechanical equipment, including heat exchangers and pressure vessels. So it was really interesting to me as I sort of transitioned to this industry to see Bitcoin mining hates heat. They try to get rid of it any way they can in order to mine. And like so many different customers in my space back then were so interested in heat and needed it for a variety of different applications. And so finding that fit has been what Mint Green has been doing. Mint Green was founded in 2017. And right now we have some projects that we're deploying. It's been a crazy year for us for sure.
Awesome. Thanks for that. Alex, going to throw the same question over to you. Just an intro on your background and then your company's background in the Bitcoin mining space.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for having me here. We started our company called Wise Elements at that time in 2016. And we were basically doing hardware. And we designed a wastewater heating recovery system for residential units. So we were collecting heat from wastewater from showers. And so we already were in the residential sector doing hardware stuff. And I was also a miner amateur miner since 2013. And so for me, it was like logical to just find a way to put all this heat that you have with mining into residential, because we were very aware of the needs and the potential in terms of demand for heating. And so we started to think about Bitcoin heaters for homes in 2018. It's only in 2020 that we went very full stroke about it. We started R&D development in 2020, and earlier this year we finished a pre-sale of some first Bitcoin heaters. So the one was that we have our Bitcoin boilers. So it's not that common in North America, but in Europe, you have a lot of homes that have water-based radiators. So you basically have a boiler for that. So it's just our first product. It's basically for Bitcoiners that want to have this for the Citadel. But our goal is to go way beyond that market and address as much as possible homes and market shares.
That's awesome. I kind of want to kick off the conversation with like a general question for both of you. We talk about all sorts of different like sub markets, I guess, in the mining industry on this show, the hardware market, the like hosting facilities side of this market. And I'm curious if you can give us like a general overview on the, on like the state and progress of the heat reuse tech side of the mining market right now, like popular use cases you're seeing and where, you know, the most activity is, and just general overview. And then we'll dig into like the specific products more that you guys are building. But, you know, we see headlines about people heating everything from like spas and indoor pools to greenhouses that grow everything from tomatoes to cannabis and all sorts of stuff. What's like, what does this part of the market look like right now? Like someone who hasn't paid much attention to all the heat reuse tech that's being developed by companies like your own, what's going on? What's the, like a market update on this side of mining? Alex, hand it back to you first, and then Colin, obviously want to hear your thoughts too.
Well, yeah, for the residential use of heat from miners, we are really in a nascent state. There are a lot of people that are having a lot of do-it-yourself incredible stuff, like you said, heating their swimming pools and their spas. For now, there are not really someone that succeeded to do it at scale or to make standardized products that are really making to distribute this heat in the same standard as you have in this industry. So without noise, with a very good transformation of energy. So yeah, it's really nascent. There is a lot of people I know that are working on this stuff, but we're really at the stage where it's there was a lot of opportunity, and I think there is a lot of way to doing it. You can have some people that are making some electric radiators, wall-mounted electric radiators. You have some people that are working on, like us, on something more centralized heating units for bigger homes, but well, yeah. For now, it's just really nascent. You don't have someone that just cracked it at scale.
For sure, yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. That's sort of the impression I'm getting, although it's rapidly developing into something, you know, more industrialized and scaling quickly.
There are a lot of challenges that you have some challenges in B2B stuff or more utility scale stuff like Colin is doing. But when you are really we are having like the equivalent of 2 or 3 hashboards, so it's like 1 unit of miners per home. So it's very difficult. You have some problems when you need maintenance. It's very distributed, so it's interesting in some aspects, but also very difficult. So
yeah, no, I want to dig into the engineering challenges a bit later also, but first, Colin, same question to you. Like anything else to add on to that? Like the state of the heat reuse market right now?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with Alex. It's very early for this space in particular, and that's kind of out of necessity, essentially. I mean, presently, obviously, Bitcoin mining is tremendously profitable. If heat recovery is done well, which we're doing, you can be sort of among the most competitive, or even the most competitive. But the fact is that scale is always a challenge, and you're always going to have you need a counterparty always. So you can't just throw down 100 megawatts or 50 megawatts easily. Minkrein is always looking for like full utilization of their entire heat load. And so that basically means you're supplying like a base load of heat to another system. So, I mean, when you're looking basically at the scale of cities, you know, the city might have 30, 40 megawatts of heat on the coldest day of the year. But we're really interested in supplying on the hottest day of the year, how much is used for showers, dishwashers, this kind of stuff. So we want to basically have full utilization 24/7, 365. And so that ends up being, you know, a couple megawatts, 3 megawatts, that kind of thing.
Totally. And we have some nice images to throw up about both of your guys' projects. I want to get more into the specifics of that. And Colin, we'll just keep on going with you. We're going to throw these images up, but can you kind of walk us through what are the business products that you guys provide for miners?
Mm-hmm. So this right here is on Vancouver Island. This is Shelter Point Distillery. We are working on a deal with them and actually developing the product to, it's a beautiful location, by the way. Yeah, right on the water, Pacific Northwest, 200 acres. They're growing the barley right there. And essentially, they need heat for two aspects. So one is the barrel aging process. So that's about 300 feet long, maybe 10 foot ceilings there. And we're looking to put a sort of immersion style system there. However, it's just basically with a fin tube exchanger heating the air in there. And then we're also looking at putting a direct heat injection into their mash process with a large tank that will be sort of the battery of the system. Essentially, like, their process runs 16 hours a day. So there'll be some downtime, but we want to maintain that. So we want to be able to discharge the heat, but not waste it, and sort of draw from that battery in a sort of a tank of water throughout the day. So that is one of our commercial applications that are really excited about it. And we're still ironing out some of the details of a potential whiskey release, Bitcoin whiskey. So we are fired up about that, targeting the next halving for that. So highly optimistic. And I think that's a really fun and exciting use for Bitcoin energy. And I think a lot of Bitcoin people enjoy Scotch style whiskey as well. So
totally. We'll have to do some sort of lottery with a mining memo to get some of that whiskey into some miners' hands.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. We'll have to get some.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. I can't wait to taste that myself and have to get Marty Ben on the stream too. He's probably one of the most proficient whiskey connoisseurs in Bitcoin. I think we have a diagram here too of maybe the battery you were referring to or the machine. If Damien has a second to throw it up there.
Yeah.
There we go. Is this what you were talking about?
Yeah. So this guy's in production right now. So this is a small unit. It has 11 kilowatts. Essentially, it's a radial formation with a whole bunch of miners' hashing boards kind of around the outside of this wheel. Just for an aesthetic, it's a polycarbonate ring, which you've already produced. So you can sort of see inside, which is fun. And the rotation is a bit over the top, but at the same time, it prevents thermal gradients north to south. So this one just heats the room. It's a very large room. And so it's basically using a fin tube exchanger. Well, typically, we're going to be doing a fluid to fluid medium. This is Tumblr, we named it. So that's the unit right there.
So just to clarify, what this thing does is you have hash boards on the outside, and those things get hot as energy runs through them and they're hashing. And then that heat disperses to whatever room it's in, and that kind of benefits what else is in the room.
Yeah. So that sort of centralized wheel there has hashing boards just like a radial formation, and sort of a fluid is pushing through and then out to the sides and then sort of getting captured and put through a fin tube exchanger there. So
that's wild stuff right there. Okay. I kind of want to keep on this subject, but probably not fair. So Alex, I'm going to throw it down to you. Let's talk about the products that you guys make. And I think we also have some nice images to throw up as well.
So, well, what we have here is one of our early prototype. It's basically you have a water tank, and beneath you have, below it you have an evaporator. It's where you have your ASICs, and it's filled with a fluid that does not conduct electricity, of course, but. It's interesting because this fluid just have a boiling point that is way under 100 degrees Celsius water way below from the water boiling point, and this fluid evaporates when the ASICs produces heat, and by evaporating it goes in pipes that goes into the tank, and it condensates back. Into a fluid form, liquid form, and it transfer energy doing that. So it's very efficient way to transfer heat well, this one, this was is not isolated because it's for showing how it works. But you basically have no pump. What you can see is the fluid evaporating. It's made to last for many years without having someone to just have some maintenance about it. Something that is not shown here is you can see the pipes at the end of the background of the image. What is not shown here is that we have the ASICs, the hash boards, in our last model into cartridges like you have with printers, you know, and it's really one of the features you have to have for this type of products is that you need to have a way to change the hash boards during the lifetime of the heater, because you don't want to have a heater that you have to change every 4 or 5 years, which is basically the lifetime of many ASICs. So unfortunately it's not shown here, but we also have a feature that you can easily change the hash balls. It's like a very plug and play stuff that, and you can send by mail the hash balls, having another one. So for now it's one of we did this because we already knew how to do it for water heater and also a boiler for space heating. But we also have in the R&D pipe all types of heaters you can have in homes. So we are developing the wall-mounted electric heater with another kind of technology, and but also the an air-based central system to for more suitable for North American homes.
That's awesome. I wish we could, you know, visit some of the facilities you guys are building, Colin, and I wish I had some of the space heaters and water heaters you guys are building. Alex, already in the chat, someone said this is a peek into the future, and I agree 100%. After talking about, you know, like we said a few minutes ago, it's a very nascent aspect of the mining sector, and looking at the products you guys are building, like, I guess my next question is like, how big can this market get? You know, because besides noise and actual Bitcoin, like the only other thing mining produces is heat, and it produces a lot of heat. And like the list of products and applications for things that like use or need heat is massive, just in everyday life and whatnot. Like, how big can this market get in terms of possible use cases, maybe even other products you guys will consider building several years from now, those sorts of things. What's like the potential for growth here in the mining heat reuse space? And how do you see that sort of growing and developing? Alex, first back to you and then Colin.
Yeah. Well, for the residential part, it's a huge, you have to imagine that in Europe, 30% of energy, of all energy, is used for space heating. And so it's basically offices or residential units. But so it's really huge. It's one of the most used application for energy. So it's a huge market. If you combine North America and Europe, you have like 10 times in terms of heating demand in kilowatt hour, all the Bitcoin mining industry is consuming. Well, it depends. It's hard really to know how much is the Bitcoin mining industry in terms of power. But well, you have a sense of the scale we are talking about. So, yeah, for me, there is absolutely no problem from the demand side of heating. The problems are somewhere else, but. I think if we find a way to crack it correctly, and it's what we are doing now, you can have you don't have, I think, limit from this side.
So pretty limitless. That's pretty bullish.
Well, for sometimes as well. I think for the next 10 years, we're okay.
30% of... can you go through that number again? You said 30% of energy is used for...
Yeah, all combined, yeah. All type of
that is wild.
Well, we also have to address the fact that Europe is not as industrial as before. It's more the service, so it's why you have more offices. In Germany, for example, you have of course more heating demand from industry, but well, it's really big.
Yeah, Colin, same question to you. Like, how big is this going to get?
Limitless. No, I agree with Alex. Like, his assessment might even be a little bit bearish in terms of the heat capacity. I mean, like, in Canada alone, electric baseboards in residences consume twice the energy of the entire Bitcoin network. So we're based in Canada. We're on the West Coast here. So there's a tremendous reservoir for heat that can be supplied. And if you find the right market to work with, you can get prices below whatever, you know, they can provide in Kazakhstan if you have enough armed guards. Essentially, what the industry is really up against is sort of the adoption curve of Bitcoin, right? I mean, like, we say, you know, you're mining corn, but maybe in 10 years you are mining corn. Like, Bitcoin will reach a market equilibrium price. The block reward will continue to go down, and efficiency will have to really take over. And I could see, you know, half the market being served by something like this in the future. I think that, you know, efficiency is absolutely key. And there's more than enough demand for heat in the world for these types of applications.
Yeah, that's wild just to kind of think about that 30% number, because that just means that there's a huge untapped market. And then going back to what you're saying about Canadian markets, like, twice the amount of Bitcoin energy is used just for power. Like, just think about that in the headline as opposed to the total bullshit that we've been seeing in other headlines. Like, what was that headline, Zach, back in like July about boiling the New York Lake? Like, it's just ridiculous to think about all these things.
Yeah, Greenwich has a farm up on near Seneca Lake, and they basically made it seem like they were boiling the lake just because they had a mining farm running up there. But yeah, it changes the narrative completely.
Totally.
And I want you to get a sense of what I said here. Like, this is twice the amount of heat in electric baseboards. Electric baseboards are probably 20% of the heat delivered to residences in Canada. So it's like a slice of a slice, and it's still twice as big as the Bitcoin network.
Yeah,
it's like that Christmas lights analogy we see from time to time. Just kind of putting it more in perspective that, you know, everyone is using energy and that's okay. So I want to go over to the engineering challenges. So we had some great imagery up showing the products that you guys are working on. Obviously, pretty complex. I'm not an engineer. I don't have an engineering background, but I'd be curious to know the challenges that you guys have been facing when you're creating these products. Alex, we'll start out with you, because looking at those hashboards and them being immersed, like, my first thought is, like, don't get your iPhone wet, right? You don't want to, like, drop your iPhone in water, but you're literally dunking these hashboards into fluids and then boiling them. So that doesn't really make sense to me, but love to get the inside scoop on the engineering challenges here.
Well, yeah, of course, there was a lot of engineering problems. We destroyed a lot of hashboards. It's why we used S9. And it was still a bit bearish, so we had them for almost nothing. So definitely you don't want to try with with a S19. You have some challenges on this part, especially when you are doing, like us, immersion cooling. You're a bit hacking the way it was made. The way it was made to be cooled. Usually, it was meant to be air cooled. So you always have some problems. We have some problems, especially with power supplies. The components didn't make it most of the time, but it seems very challenging in, on this part, very technological part. But for us, I don't want to elude the question, but for us, the very challenge is about supply chain. How do you manage to have a good uptime with your hashboards? Because one of the problems is that depending where you are, but you heat during winter or when it's cold, basically. But in summer, usually it depends where you live, of course, but you stop heating. So you start to have some problems with uptime. And for every miners, know that uptime is key. You can reduce it a bit, but you can't go too far into it. Otherwise, you take the risk to never have the opportunity to have a return on the investment. I think these are the most challenges. That's really just technical problems to how do you transfer heat from a point to another. Well, transferring heat is something that is from computer is something that is. It's mastered by everyone, you know, because you think about your laptop, you know, your phone. It's heating. It's a problem you always have, and so there are a lot of technologies. It's pretty accessible, but the main problems are uptime and supply chain.
Totally. Colin, same question over to you, and maybe a little insight into like the specific challenges for the products you're making would be really mm-hmm. interesting as well.
Yeah. I mean, there's significant technical challenge. I mean, neither Alex or myself, like our companies don't produce ASICs specific for these applications. Right. So product suitability is almost by chance. So you have to basically stress test, particularly for our applications, because we are running them in a very high band of tolerance that most machines will not function at. And some just happen to be able to do it. It's not advertised. You have to sort of test it yourself. So you have to sort of have a product suitability there. But for us, like managing flow rates and control in the control system is highly complex. We're dealing with municipal water that's coming back at a, you know, in the mid 50 degrees Celsius, sorry, you know, metric system over here. But we have to hit it within a band of temperature in the 70s, which requires us spooling up and spooling down and changing flow rates and sort of finding that exact fit right there, which has a lot of moving parts to it. So the larger vessels are going to essentially be like Tumblr, but just layer upon layer like that, sort of stretching lengthwise. And just managing that and having as much output as the system can take. But there will be some changing delta T on the other side. It's just like the rejection temperature will be lower or higher, say 5 degrees. And so we have to manage that with our system. That's fairly complicated.
That, I mean, I think I understood about 50% of what you guys said. Most of it went over my head, also not an engineer. But one thing...
Lower amount for me.
One thing I want to follow up on, Colin and Alex, that both of you guys mentioned is sort of like, you guys are sort of like building guerrilla products here. Like you're not working with MicroBT or Bitmain, and this wasn't like a use case they sort of envisioned their ASIC components to be used for. Like looking forward a little bit though, as we've discussed, there's huge opportunity for this type of product, heat reuse in general. What does it look like when, you know, the things you're working on get a little bit more mainstream, not even like just generally, but just in the Bitcoin mining space where maybe, you know, Mintgreen and WhatsMiner are working together and building a product that more easily fits with this sort of heat reuse tech, or, you know, Antminers and Wise Mining are building products that fit together better. All of the stress testing and design load isn't all on your end, but there's more collaboration and stuff. Like when/if do you think that's going to happen, and what would it look like for that sort of relationship to develop? Colin, back to you, and then Alex also.
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, like every single component on these boards, and ideally the control boards, the data cables, which we have to replace, like everything must be suitable for high temperature and an oil-based product. And they're not they're not built like that. And if they do happen to work, it is kind of chance. We're trying to get away from the PSUs that they're using as well, because there's a lot of adhesives in there that can dissolve. So we're looking at some DC power supply stuff still in the works here, but we think we can do it. But I mean, the higher temperature we can arrive, the dream would be to be able to create steam without a heat pump. So if we could get this like a very high temperature, that would be, you know, that would be extremely, extremely good for a business case. In fact, we spent a year trying to get to the temperatures that some of our clients wanted. There were some struggles to get there, but if we can push that further, that would be huge. So, I mean, if they were designing these specific units with like, you know, with like maintaining a maximum heat temperature rather than trying to cool it as fast as possible. And I have some intuition on some of the designs that right out the gate, you can tell work a little bit better than others. But that's kind of what we would love to see. But every single piece from Ethernet to like our switches, we submerge as much as we can to recover all the heat from, and they all have to be like very specifically designed for those temperatures.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, like you mentioned, historically miners are trying to shed and get rid of as much heat as possible. And you guys are kind of turning that dynamic on its head and trying to capture all of it. Alex, same question to you. Like, what would it look like if when you guys are working more closely with these ASIC manufacturers to design products that work, you know, more naturally with the type of heat reuse products you guys are building?
Well, of course it will help if we represent enough market share on our opportunity for them to just give us some for some hashboard design for that. But the problem is that I think we have to hack it and to make it our own way. And only when we will represent something interesting that will begin to help us into this process. So for us, we are really thinking into making our own hashboards. So I'm not speaking about ASICs the chips level. Because a hashboard is just an electric board with a lot of ASICs. The ASICs are just the chips. Sometimes we do the terms not accordingly, but some ASIC manufacturers already sell just the black the small black chips that are doing all the work basically. And for some of our application, it's almost mandatory that we have to control the form, the size of the hashboard, and we have to control the weight. There is some evolution. It's very important for us. And as Colin said, we are at the mercy that sometimes at one moment they can just use some components that just is not fitted for immersion cooling, or it can be very problematic. So, it's hashboards. Making your own hashboard seems very complicated. It's not that impossible, but it can take easily 6 to 9 months with the correct talents for that, people for that. But yeah, I think we will have to do that. So they at some point just said, "Well, we don't bother to make your hashboard. We will just give you ones that are good for you." But you know, I think we will have to. The beginning will be difficult.
Does it totally make sense for you? I mean, yeah, I'm understanding most of what you guys are saying, but again, I don't have an engineering background.
You have to differentiate in the Bitcoin miner. You have the things that are doing all the magic is our small chips, black chips. Mm-hmm. It's microchips. This is what we call ASIC. It's application specific integrated chips. So the IC is from the chips. So all you have, the power supply, all what is external, you can more easily do it yourself. It's not that easy, but it's possible. Making your own integrated chips I think it's completely out of the subject because you just need so much buying power. You have to deal with TSMC that is already not even they don't give chips to Volkswagen or to Sony. So I think we are not ready to have our own.
Do you think in like 5 to 10 years that would be a market that would be interesting for someone to move into, where there's custom chips for people like yourself?
To custom hashboards, yeah, maybe, I don't know. Right, it's very hard to tell. It depends if they sense that there is some. If they think like us and they see that it's the way mining will be, as Colin say, at some times efficiency will be very, very important because it's a never ending competition for having an edge in the mining industry. So at some point they can come to the conclusion that they will have to address our way of taking heat. So
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think if you project sort of the market curve that something like this, and certainly some products in sort of like a large offtake mining company, I could see those sort of junior ventures starting. I mean, like we've had some conversations in particular about some products. We're not like shy about it. It's like, we don't have an official partnership with them, but we do talk a lot to like the Brains OS team. We really like how their software performs in immersion, and we're kind of pushing them like, can you get this product to do immersion? Can we run more control board, more miners off a single control board and save space? Are these things we can look at? So, there's a multi-pronged approach to solving these problems, which includes software and hardware.
Yeah, for sure. We've talked multiple times on this stream about how in many ways the ideal setup is overclocked, immersed ASICs running Brains OS. And I'm sure the amount of heat you can capture from that sort of setup is also super useful to guys like yourselves.
Yeah. I mean, like we're towing a line for like longevity. So honestly, we're generally like throttling the miners a bit. And then so if we need to add more temperature, then we turn them up. Kind of the opposite, but you're absolutely right. Like, I mean, for many products who are maybe you're not really concerned about the temperature, like, I mean, I've heard people do great things with immersion on S17s, where an S17 is a very difficult product in general to operate, and it kind of gets a second life with that.
Interesting. Yeah, I only asked that question because we saw recently Blockstream acquired Spoondoolies to start, you know, booting up their own ASIC manufacturing line. And of course, like I'm assuming they're going for profit there. They're not going for some niche case like you guys are working on here. But I do want to pivot really quickly away from this conversation while we're at about the 40-minute mark and move into the green industry and kind of talk about that aspect. I'm wondering what your reception of both your respective companies has been within the green industry, or if you guys have made inroads into it. In a lot of sense, I see like the green industry looking at something like Mint Green or Wise Mining and saying, you guys are just kind of putting lipstick on a pig because they don't like Bitcoin mining at all. And they're like, you guys are just trying to fix the problem a little bit by using excess heat for some other reason to try to fix whatever that is. So I'm wondering if you guys have any reception to the green industry, if they've been proponents of any concept like you guys are pushing forward. And I would just like to hear some thoughts from that. Colin, I'll start with you.
Yeah. You're fighting. So we certainly have. It is an uphill battle at times. First, like we have gone with the angle of you have to sell what Bitcoin provides first, right? So like you have to understand that like Bitcoin is providing banking to the unbanked. Bitcoin is providing monetary freedom. Bitcoin is, you know, it's sort of running counter to an inflationary system, which is like inherently puts everyone on a treadmill and is highly, highly consumptive. And so the pitch kind of starts there. Like Bitcoin does good things, and we help them do things, good things, greener. Mint Green entered a like open startup pitch competition some months ago. It took place over 6 months, and we ended up actually taking this is not like industry specific. This was not, and these people really had no preference to industry. And we actually won in the category of sustainability as a mining company, which was insane. So this is the Nextstream, it was Nextstream startup competition, which was held over on Vancouver Island, and has had huge effect for our company. I mean, essentially, we ended up raising from just that group about $1.5 million in equity investment. So it was nice, and it was hugely. It was just very gratifying to see that the lights sort of went on about Bitcoin as well. And then from there, they could see that, you know, this supplants, say, coal mining in China at the time, which is not really happening so much. But basically, the mining industry itself is competitive. If you can be more competitive, you're pushing out less competitive groups. And those generally tend to be towards like thermal or petrochemical. So it's competitive on that level. For us, I mean, for natural gas, like for the citywide use, for every megawatt we have, we are keeping 1,700 metric tons of carbon dioxide out of the air, which is, you know, significant for GHG. And we're basically the lowest cost provider of zero carbon heat. Yeah, that's the one right there.
There we go. Yeah. Thanks for throwing that up, Damien. That's awesome. Same question to you, Alex. Like, curious to hear any interactions you've had with, the green community pushing sort of against the narrative that Bitcoin mining is bad for the planet, whereas you guys, you know, are working to create a very viable use case that sort of counteracts that with huge growth potential. What sort of conversations have you had or reactions have you had in that regard?
Yeah, to be fair, we're still a bit under the radar, you know. Maybe being a French company, in the French people speaking, we had some commentaries about that, but not that much. But we have some advantage because when you say to people that you don't. People can spend exactly the same amount of energy that they were used to heat their home, and that this time it's just mining Bitcoin. I'm sub product from this point of view. It's even from hardcore green people, it's a bit confusing for them. And we see they have problem with Bitcoin in general, and sometimes, you know, I think everyone can agree that the climate change debate is also used as a way to fulfill another agenda, which is more that just people don't like Bitcoin as a speculative asset or. The ethos that is behind Bitcoin. So, it's interesting because when we speak about heat reusing, it's when you start to see who is really honest about it or who it just will never take any argument, even if it's very difficult to attack at this stage. So, unfortunately, we didn't have so much media coverage on criticism. So we don't really know how it will be received. Of course, from Bitcoiners, for them it's very nice, very cool. It answers the main problem. But as Colin said, we are. We still push the narrative that mining is so much competitive if you take very far away in time that you will have to use heat or otherwise you will be pushed away. So we try to position the narrative that Bitcoin will just heat something at the end. And well, in France, it's nice because actually they were already subsidizing people that were hitting with general computing the graphic cards or GPU, and they won a lot of prizes and all. So I think we retry the saying, well, we do exactly the same. So just it's not used for making some CGI for Pixar or Disney for the next movie. It will just be for mining Bitcoin. But I'm very interested to see how they will receive it. But we know basically we can be subsidized in France, which is, I think, a bit ironic. But awesome. To be honest, I don't really know how it will be received.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. I guess, like, when I think about it at sort of a high level, people have very polarizing views on different sorts of energy. And a lot of the green conversation around Bitcoin focuses on what powers the mining. Some people are like, coal, natural gas is great. We can, you know, use that. It's fine. Other people are diehard, quote unquote, clean energy fans, geothermal, wind, solar, et cetera. And this sort of introduces a completely different side of that narrative. Like, ignore what powers it for a moment. Let's just focus on harnessing this otherwise useless byproduct and creating, you know, infinite possible use cases for how it betters dozens, hundreds of different things, and pushes for the cleaner, sustainable side of Bitcoin in a completely different way that discards all of those polarized views on what powers mining. So I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on that or disagree completely, but it offers a fresh take in my mind, which is super helpful.
Yeah, I mean, like, some of the discussions we were having in the past were basically like, it started to start with, well, wouldn't it be just easier, like, we're in a bubble, like, here, right? Like, we are kind of ahead of the adoption curve a little bit here. You'll hear things like, well, you know, wouldn't this problem be solved if there was just no cryptocurrency and no Bitcoin? And it's like that has to be the answer, the question you're answering first. And you have to be like very calm and humble about it, because that is an earnest thought for many people. We like to go a step further than sort of what you're describing there, Zach, where you're saying, you know, like, doesn't really matter where the energy comes from. So, like, we are targeting very high energy, although we're not vertically integrated into power production, we're targeting extremely high green and clean energy on the front end, and then converting that heat to something usable at a very high percentage as well. So we want to be sort of the extreme case of green mining, where you could actually argue that, you know, the energy is being used twice and it's green to begin with. You know, maybe it's carbon negative. I mean, like, it is providing a service millions of people who use Bitcoin. So that's kind of where we are. We're fortunate where we started here, where the energy mix is 97% hydro out of the grid. But we're going to be targeting similar type jurisdictions moving forward here and in Europe.
So I want to ask about, like, bringing this to, like, the home mining setup and how that would look like. Because we do get a lot of people who are interested in not only mining from home, but they want to use that excess heat somehow. For example, you could heat your garage pretty easily or heat your basement. But what does it look like to get a little bit more complex? So maybe heat a greenhouse or boil water for your home or something like that. Like, how much engineering background should a typical person need to have to get that done? Would you tell them to go outsource it, or you say, like, you can probably figure it out if it's low level enough? Alex, I'll probably start with you on that question. That's okay.
You can find a way to do it quite well. If you have, you need to be a bit, how do you say that? Good to tinkering with things usually. It's not that hard, but you come from a very disadvantage about comfort, because you have two problems. The heat is very dry. So for home, it's not very comfortable to have a heat that is so that is hot, so dry. And also you have the problem of noise, of course, if you ever enter a mining factory, but even one piece of hardware, just incredible the noise you have. I think for most people that try at home, the problem is just reducing the noise. But also the problem with heat is the distribution. And it's also an explanation why heat is not used for, is what was, what is not used today or was not used before, because the problem with heat is that transporting is very difficult and very costly. It comes very costly quickly. So you really have to have some efficient way of distributing this heat between rooms. So yeah, to have the same comfort that you can have with a regular system, it can be very difficult. So yeah, as you said, going beyond heating one, two, or three room, well, it can do well, but traveling through back and forth of your house with the same heat, equally dispersed where it is needed, you don't have thermostat. It can be very, very difficult to have. If you have already a centralized system, when you have one furnace or one boiler, so it can be more easy because you can find a way to put some regular heat exchanger and you can tinker a bit. But if you have to distribute the heat, it becomes very difficult. But yes, a lot of people are doing it. They are right to do it.
Hey, Colin, I kind of want to change the question just a little bit for you. Like, you know, we see the mining market kind of bifurcated in between like retail and institutional miners, a surge in retail miners over the last year and a half or so. And obviously, you know, massive public companies and private companies getting even deeper into mining.
Yeah.
What do you see those two segments evolving in this type of this aspect of mining? Like, do you think the long term use case for these types of heat reuse products are going to be heavily oriented towards massive mining farms to generate lots of heat in one particular place, or like more retail focused applications, or like evenly distributed across both?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, obviously, our focus is a little more on the B2B side. I would say that just due to the scale as per representation of hash rate, that's probably going to be a little bit larger. But I think there's going to be plenty of room for both. You know, like this year, we've done tons of product development. We've done two capital raises. There's lots of things going on. But like we would love to sort of, you know, what Alex is talking about, like sort of like open source something that you wouldn't have to be an engineer, a small immersion system that could just act as a heat, like a space heater for people's houses that could build themselves. I think that'd be really cool and really easy. And, you know, it wouldn't have to be a cutting edge piece of equipment that costs $10,000 in order to actually be profitable when you're comparing to something that is either burning electrons or gas to heat you. Instead, you have something that's generating a profit, albeit a modest one. I think there'd be compelling cases for that for, again, space heaters or heating a pool or a hot tub or something of that order. But I do think that scale, like if you're going to try to capture, you don't run a space heater all the time. If you're trying to capture base load, if you're trying to capture large amounts, I think sort of, you know, institutional size will be the lion's share of it. But again, I mean, if in your house it makes sense for you economically to run something like this, then why not, right? I mean, like the efficiency scales fairly linearly, so.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. We're getting close to the top of the hour here. And I have one more question sort of with a forward looking slant to it for both of you guys. Before we get to that, though, and wrap up, I want to thank you both for coming on this stream. It's been a super fun conversation hearing not only about the particular products you guys are building, but also at like a higher level, the trajectory that this part of the mining space is headed towards. Super bullish and super interesting. So last question I want to pitch to you guys is, between like now and the next halving, what are your like expectations for heat reuse products that you guys are building, or just like this sector in general, in terms of maybe partnerships or growth opportunities, or just like scale in general of miners using this tech, capturing and reusing heat for other purposes? What sort of expectations do you have or maybe goals for your companies that you've set? What sort of growth do you want to see? Colin, I'll give it back to you, and then Alex also.
Yeah, I mean, we have pretty aggressive goals on this. We think that, I mean, we're working closely with the municipality within you know, BC. We're looking at heating like over 100 different buildings there with what we're doing. And it's, you know, we're going to be announcing it very shortly. I think we'll be running sort of downhill after that. I think there'll be tremendous demand for what we're doing there. And we're taking a lot of hires for that. So, I mean, you know, by next halving, I mean, like, we would like to be, you know, very close to 100 megawatts if we could in numerous jurisdictions, and just sort of continue along that line. I mean, our particular way of doing business is sort of backed by long-term offtake agreements. So we can sort of lock in a high price for heat, create markets, because it doesn't necessarily matter what the price of energy is. If you're selling heat and your net cost is very low, and then basically just keep rinsing and repeating. So the deal we're presently looking at is about 12 years long. And the net cost is something you can't really get anywhere else. So, and it's still very competitive for them. So it's a win-win. It's saving them millions of dollars over electric options. Carbon regulated markets also sort of help with this. It kind of makes natural gas a little less competitive. And so we don't necessarily have to compete directly with it, which is, you know, basically we just have to come under the electricity cost just a little bit, and we're in good shape from a cost benefit standpoint to our clients. So.
Interesting. Those are awesome numbers. Excited to see you guys hit those. Alex, same question to you. You know, over the next few years, between now and the next halving, like, what sort of growth are you looking for from Wise Mining, or just the heat capture and reuse space in mining in general?
Well, we have some pretty also aggressive objective, and maybe I can come back in the previous question answering it, because. If you want retail to have access to Bitcoin mining, the main problem is not really, if you think about it, it's not technical. It's really about money, because imagine for someone to have the capital to invest in some hardware for mine and have. For us, substantial gains, you just have to spend thousands of dollars on it. So our plan is to deploy some very special business model where we want to deploy Bitcoin miners, Bitcoin heaters in people's home. So the deal is that they will get these Bitcoin heaters basically maybe for free or a small fee, but they will have to pay the electricity as they do usually to pay their bills. But we will get the Bitcoin reward. So we think about some profit sharing, depending. Well, it's the discussion is open. So this way we can really give some value to people, and because they will have basically some maybe free heater when the other one just passed away. And it gives us a lot of capex on our side. So we have also this problem. So we also try to think about a way that maybe we can consider that Bitcoin heaters spread in a lot of houses can be like a decentralized big mining farm, and you can maybe you can maybe find some people that are okay to invest in this farm, and we can be some mix like it's a bit like people are hosting hardware. There are some people that are hosting hardware in these people's houses, and the deal is that these people will pay the electricity. So you can have a very nice equation. So we want the only way to scale and to go beyond, I would say, rich Bitcoiners that are also homeowners. If you want to go beyond that market, which will be pretty niche, I think, we really want to find a way to very spread further. So it would be difficult. We'll have to, of course, to find people which agree to have these heaters, so we have a good value for them, but also people on the other side that are okay to just invest in this type of investment and get some rewards, get some return on investment. So we want, for us, our mission is really just to put maximum to exploit this equation that is that 1 watt of electricity can give you 1 watt of heat and 1 watt of Bitcoin. So yeah, it's a bit ogle before the next halving to make it work to find the good parameters and if it works, we can do it at scale and every home will be like another one. So
that's
we plan
awesome.
To do in north of Europe, maybe UK, north of France, because we, for hard time reasons, for example, we need some places where there was a harsh winter, preferably. In Canada, of course, it's a very nice place to try it. So yeah, that's a bit our objective.
That's an amazing note to end on. Every home running an ASIC, every home heated by an ASIC. We want to get, you know, we share similar ideological goals there, getting everyone into mining as much as possible, lowering the barrier to entry as much as possible.
For in the B2B, you don't. I think the company Colin has if he's dealing with companies, they can have find some. Where to find financing, maybe. I don't know. But
sure.
For regular people, it's really, I think it's really something that will be shocking points.
Sure, yeah. No, that's an awesome note to end on. Colin and Alex, thank you guys so much for coming on the stream. It's been a blast chatting with you guys. For everyone watching, these are the guys to follow if you want to keep tabs on what's going on in the heat reuse space and mining. They're both on Twitter. Both their companies are on Twitter. Throw them a follow, ask them questions. And thanks for watching our conversation today. Hit the like and subscribe button if you enjoy the conversation. It makes us feel good about ourselves, but also helps other miners find the content. And that's a wrap for today. Thank you guys so much for coming on the show. Thanks everyone for watching and enjoy the weekend.